The title is A New Start. Have you ever been in a situation where you'd like to have a new start, where you'd like to begin again, maybe make different decisions? We hear the term do-over. And from the dictionary, a new attempt or opportunity to do something after a previous attempt has been unsuccessful or unsatisfactory. That's a do-over. You can understand that. But a start over is to begin to do something again, sometimes in a different way. If you would join me as we go to God. Loving Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we give this message to you. We ask that you would inspire and say the words you want, that you would convey to each one of us what you want us to hear and to understand and to take away. God, we thank you for your very presence in Christ's name. Amen. Today's text was read by Paula, Luke 9, 19, 1 through 10, is the story of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus, the meaning of his name is pure and clean. How do you associate a chief tax collector as pure and clean? The story, as we read through, is he's short in stature. He's not very tall. He wants to see Jesus. Right there is a question. Why does he want to see Jesus? Why does this chief tax collector that is rich, in all likelihood, very rich, want to see Jesus? But he does, and he goes to extremes. He runs, which, again, in that culture, an adult male pulling up their robe and running was embarrassing, humiliating, but he did. And then, as a full adult, how many trees have guys climbed recently? As a kid, I'm sure that you did, but as an adult, and maybe a rich adult, how many trees? Oh, not a lot, I see. But that's what he did. He knew he couldn't see over the crowd, so he figured out a way. And a sycamore fig tree has low branches, very conducive to climbing a tree, and he did. Now, you can't hide up there at all. And Jesus comes along. Zacchaeus is watching. He sees. And what does Jesus do? He stops right under the tree, looks up, says, Zacchaeus, calls him by name. They've never met. Come down now. I need to go to your house to stay. Think of what that would have been like. It goes to one of the things that I've shared with you. Jesus always was intentional. When he went somewhere to see a particular person, there was intentionality. The woman at the well comes to mind. He came to her. Legion with all the demons was another one. He goes across the sea, takes care of the situation, heals Legion, gets back in a boat, and goes back across. Nothing else is going on. He comes through Jericho and stops, looks up. How many other people probably looked up to see who was up in the tree? We don't know, but there probably wasn't a whole lot of, I wonder who's up there. But Jesus calls him by name. So you think of what this would have looked like. Now, thinking about watching The Chosen, we're seeing a lot of activity. Can you picture an actor that you would cast the role of Zacchaeus in? Say it louder. You know, you just think of this little short round guy, and he would fit the part. So kind of give you, I'm not saying that you need to have that locked in your brain, But think about what that would have visually looked like. You know, he comes down from the tree immediately. And that, you know, those in Mark, well, that was a favorite term. But this is literally what the scripture is talking about, to come down immediately. Go back in verse 3, and it talks about Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. Seeking. Have you ever been in a situation when you were seeking something? When you kind of maybe felt the call of God on your heart? Were you seeking first? Or did the call even come initially from God? Again, goes up the tree. He's ready to wait for Jesus to come through there. Jesus looks up and he calls him by name. He knows who we are. He knows each one of you. He knows when you get to a crossroads and you go, I don't want to do over. I want to start over. There are so many things wrong with what I've been doing. I need a new beginning. And Jesus is right there. Let's go. Let's start over. When Jesus talks about Zacchaeus, he says in verse 5, I must stay at your house. He was intentional. He wanted, that was where he was staying. He wanted to have relationship with Zacchaeus. Why else would he want to stay at this chief with all his wealth, with all his money? He's engaging. Why? Does he correct him? Does he tell him that he's doing things wrong? None of that's in here. He wants to spend time with Zacchaeus. He wants to give Zacchaeus grace. He's wanting to share what he has. Grace. Which one of us doesn't want grace to come our way? The blessings that come with that. The question, whose idea was it for Jesus to stay at Zacchaeus' house? Think about that. Who put it into Zacchaeus' heart and mind to climb the tree so that he could see Jesus? Do you think maybe God was knocking on his heart? Do you think maybe there were some things happening in his life that he recognized he needed to start over? He needed something new? I believe God was already there. God put it on his heart to climb the tree to see Jesus. God put it on his heart to have Jesus in his home. Jesus is given a new start. He sees our heart and he understands each one. He extends grace to us. And maybe we get a new start because that's what we're desirous of. There's never a time that Jesus isn't right there, willing and able to facilitate and help us if we ask. Did he condemn Zacchaeus for his actions? Did he tell him what amends he needed to make? Jesus does none of that. He's just hanging out with Zacchaeus at his house. And Zacchaeus volunteers what he will do. You know, that he will make amends, that he will give back. Where did that come from? Jesus wasn't sitting there giving him a list of demands or actions that he needed to do. The Spirit was moving in his heart. He needed these changes and he saw what he needed to do. As we go through our life every day, Jesus is the one who is right there. He seeks us. He sees us. He wants us to respond or relate to him. He opens our eyes to what we see. He opens our minds in our hearts to feel what he has. We open ourselves as his church to gladly receive and welcome others into the family of faith that they truly belong, because everybody belongs. Everybody has a place. Let's boil it down to individual. We open ourselves to our neighbors. We open ourselves to people around us. We're willing to play share with them. I was listening to a message this morning by Dan Rogers, and he was talking about going to a restaurant with his wife and son, and they were sitting there, and a lady walked in, and it was one of his congregation, and she came right up to the table and said, "I need to talk to you. I didn't know you were here, but I've got some I really need to." So he got up, and they walked out to the front of the restaurant. There was a bench. And this lady just poured out to him. And he says, "I couldn't say anything." He says, "All I did was sit there and bawl and cry and cry." Public setting, ladies talking to him. And he says, "I had nothing, nothing to share with this woman except tears." And he sat there and bawled. He said, "She started to comfort me. It's okay. It's going to be all right. We'll get through this. It's mine. And he said, that's basically how that ended. He says, "I went home feeling a complete and total failure. I had nothing to share with this woman. I had no scriptures. I had no directions. All I did was bawl." A week or so later, the lady told him how wonderful it was for him to listen and share in her life. It was the greatest thing she's ever experienced from a pastor. We don't know when we engage other people, and we may not have the words to say. We don't even know what to do, but listening is something each one of us can do. What happens in that moment? I don't have a clue. But if we're letting God lead us, we may touch somebody in a way we have no clue. Jesus in Zacchaeus' home extended grace to him. The folks around him, including probably the disciples, weren't real excited for Jesus to be in the home of a hated chief tax collector. There he is. There goes Jesus being who he is again. The object lesson is to open ourselves to others. Let the Spirit lead you. And it may be, one of the examples. I have never, full disclosure, watched Forrest Gump. I know. It's what it is. I never have. But in the story, I saw a little film clip. Jenny and Forrest are back at the home where she was abused, where she was just horrible, and she is picking up rocks and throwing at the house. Maybe you remember the scene, maybe you don't. And she just finally exhausted, just sits down and just cries. And Forrest walks up and he sits down beside her and he says something very profound. "Sometimes there's just not enough rocks to throw." It wasn't this profound change in her life. It was acknowledging what she was experiencing in the moment. And we all have that opportunity when we share ourselves. But we have to put ourselves out there, be willing to engage, be willing to respond. When this little kid comes up in Bible club and gives you a hug, you respond. Because it is from their heart. Absolutely, clearly. Especially if they're like a first or kindergartner. That's their love language. They are doing the one thing that they can respond with. The thing of it is, because of Jesus and through his grace, we can start over as many times as it takes. I don't think he's got a tally sheet in heaven. Well, you've reached your limit for starts, restarts. No. It's available to each and every one of us. Allowing the grace of God, of the Holy Spirit, to move through us. As we come to the portion of the meeting where we have the communion experience, what does that mean to you? Is it just the last part of the service? Is it just something that we do weekly, which is, you know, an awesome thing? Okay, you know, you're going to hear a song. You're going to hear some music. You're going to get up and you're going to walk up and you'll pick up the elements. Is it routine? Do you think about what this table represents? Jesus, who came to this earth, lived a life as a human being who felt pain, probably felt betrayed more than just Judas, but by different ones. Can you imagine the disciples who bickered and fought amongst themselves, who's the best, or who wants to sit closest to Jesus at a table? He experienced all of the things of humanity that we do with a single goal of making a place for each one of us to be with him forever. And we have at this table the representation of his broken body, of his shed blood for me and for you. Is it personal when you come up to this table? That's between you and God. Is this table here for you? As we come to this time, I would ask that you would join me in prayer. Loving God, we thank you so very much for Jesus Christ, for absolute everything he did. And God, you teach us and share lessons from his life of what you are doing. And we thank you. We thank you that we can participate with you. And as we come to this table, the broken bread representing Christ's body, broken for us, for me, and for his shed blood that again was done for me, for each one of us. Thank you. And God, I do ask that you would bless these elements, that you would touch our hearts, that we can respond to you with the love that you continually pour out to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone and all are welcome at the table. Thank you.
Lord, thank you for this time we've had together. It is awesome to hear how you are opening doors and giving us opportunities to be your instruments of peace. We thank you that you have heard our prayers and have been working all along to prepare us for spreading your love in this neighborhood. We ask that you will bless our trunk or treat activity tomorrow. Guide us through this next week. Amen. And in conclusion, from 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Have a wonderful week.